I really believe we're living in the greatest time in history. I really do. I believe the kingdom is expanding. I believe the harvest is ripe. And I believe it's exciting to be a part of this movement of God's Spirit and this movement of God's people that is happening like never before on the earth. But I'm also aware that much of the world is confused, and that people are trying to redefine, the world is trying to redefine what is okay. And if our integrity is not in check, if our integrity has cracks in it, then even without realizing it, even we as believers will begin to redefine what is okay. And so I believe that integrity is something that we as ambassadors of God's kingdom, heavenly realm, I believe it's something that we have the responsibility of looking at every day in our lives, because things, they really do tend to get loose over time when they are not tended to, when they are not looked at, when they are not tightened up. And when the pressure comes, the integrity is then not there to withstand the pressure. And so I ask the question, when we get squeezed, what comes out? When we get squeezed, what comes out? When the pressure comes, is our foundation of integrity strong enough to withstand it? And so I want this evening to be a tightening and a tuning and just a calling of who we're called to be as men and women of integrity. So Proverbs 11, starting in verse 2, and I'm actually going to read this out of the Passion Translation. So anybody familiar with the Passion Translation? Oh, yeah, okay, all right, so you know. So if you don't have it, you can just listen. It's a very juicy version of Scripture, as I like to call it. So Proverbs 11, verse 2, it says, "When you act with presumption, convinced that you're right, don't be surprised if you fall flat on your face. But walking in humility helps you make wise decisions. Integrity will lead you to success and happiness, but treachery will destroy your dreams." I'm going to go down to verse 5 now. It says, "Those with good character walk on a smooth path with no detour or deviation. But the wicked keep falling because of their own wickedness. Integrity will keep a good man from falling." The definition of integrity is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. And we see often in scriptures, integrity and truth are synonymous and most often interchangeable. But there's another definition of integrity as well, and that is the state of being whole. And I love that definition. And it's so amazing, because I know that from talking with Pastor Mark that many of you in this house, you've been having just powerful and you're experiencing life-changing encounters with God and all that He's doing here, and heaven is pouring out. And of course, I know that that's a focus here, to build a family of passionate believers that serve the Lord and open up atmospheres where people can encounter God's love and His fire and His power and His glory. And in that, what I want to do is ask us this question, because I ask the question to our house, Arise Birmingham as well, and I ask this question: is what does it look like to steward that encounter? That encounter that we're having with God, what does it look like to then steward that? And I believe one of the ways that we steward our encounters, our powerful encounters with God, is by building the character and the integrity that will sustain the fruit of the encounter. Because integrity is not something that is imparted to you. Integrity is something that is built. It's not imparted, it's actually built. It's not, integrity is not a one-time conversation. It's an everyday looking at it face to face in every decision and asking ourselves, who do I want to become? Who do I want to become? And so I believe if we focus on strengthening our gifts and our calling without focusing on integrity, then we're actually overlooking the very thing that will sustain our gifts and our calling. Christine Kane, she's a minister out of Australia. She says, "You grow when you care just as much about who you are becoming as you do about what you are doing and where you are going." And quite a few years back, I was given this prophetic word, okay? I was given this prophetic word that I was going to receive the mantle of Billy Graham, okay? And so I'm like, what do you really do with that word? You know, it's you know, this big word, like you're going to receive the mantle of Billy Graham. And honestly, it didn't really resonate with me, being totally honest. And it's not that I'm not for seeing thousands upon thousands of people come to know Jesus in stadiums and worldwide ministry. It's not that I'm not for that. It just didn't resonate with me because what I'm passionate about is building a culture and helping usher in a realm of God's presence and glory that's going to transform this city and actually raising others up to see thousands upon thousands come to know Christ. But it was obviously a great word. And, you know, I received it and I said, thank you. Amen. You know, I don't know what to do with that, but it's an amazing word. And then when Billy Graham, this was actually before he had passed away, when Billy Graham passed away in February of last year, as you know, or you may remember, all these prophetic words began coming out about Billy Graham's mantle. And so it's all these, I'm reading a lot of these, people are sending them to me and I'm reading them and, you know, about Billy Graham's mantle and how, you know, the anointing for stadiums and for the harvest and all these just amazing, powerful things. It was so exciting, you know, what you could feel in the spirit realm, like reading all this. But then my wife sent me a prophetic word that someone had sent to her about Billy Graham that this woman had wrote. And she sent me this prophetic word. And I read this word. And this prophetic word about Billy Graham's passing was different. Because this prophetic word, it actually talked about a different type of mantle that was being released to the body of Christ with his passing. Because this word, it talked about the character, the humility, and the life of integrity. The character, the humility, and the life of integrity that Billy Graham lived and walked in, that was what sustained and empowered the anointing and the call of God on his life. And I read that prophetic word and I said, that's it. That's what I want. That's the mantle I want right there. That's that word. And, you know, Billy Graham, he even said himself, he said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. He said, when health is lost, something is lost. He said, but when character is lost, all is lost. And so I believe there's many questions we, you know, need to continue to ask ourselves, like what decisions are we making when no one else is looking? And, you know, how are we treating, you know, our spouse, our family members when no one else is around? You know, how are we even treating our waiters and our waitresses at the restaurant? All these little things, they matter. How do we treat our jobs? You know, are we doing it with excellence? Or are we just getting by? You know, what are we looking at on our phones when no one else is around and no one else is watching? We've got to ask ourselves these questions. What are we raising our children up in? Because I ask myself, when my children, they're all little, and when my children, when they come in to our services after the service is over and we're having ministry time and I'm praying for people, do my children, do they come in and do they see Daddy praying for the people at our church up front with as much passion and compassion and with as much fervency as I pray for them at home? Did they say, Daddy prays for me, like how he's praying up front at church? He prays for me like that at night before we go to bed. Because if not, then I'm going to subtly teach my children that what you do in front of everyone is more important than what you do when no one's around. And sadly, you know, so many people get hurt in churches, in the church, because leaders, they're operating in their gifts, but they don't build their integrity. And Pastor Mark and I, we've talked about this quite a bit. And we've talked about how, you know, it's because they're using, leaders tend to sadly use their authority to force agendas and to control rather than to empower and to serve. And so, and it's not about performance. We know that it's not about performance, but our actions are an overflow of our hearts, and our actions, they really are a reflection of the foundation we're built on. Is this okay? Is this okay? Are you with me? Here's the question. What is worth more to you right now in your life than integrity? I could get that job promotion. I could make that much money. You know, I could cover that mistake and everything will just kind of, you know, no one will ever know. But how many of us know that if your integrity is off track, then you can be bought? If your integrity is off track, you can be bought, because in pressure situations, sometimes integrity is a lot of time the last thing we want to do when the pressure comes. But you ask this question, do you want to take care of it now? And there may be a little pain that comes with it, but you're going to act in integrity and take care of it now. Or do you want to keep putting it off down the road, keep pushing it off until one day there's going to be a lot of pain, there's going to be greater consequences, and most often at that point, it's going to hurt a lot of people. And so Eric Johnson at Bethel Church in Redding, California says, do you want to eat well or do you want to sleep well? And I know here at Life of Faith, just like at our church at Arise, you're a family here. And I know you're building these beautiful relationships with one another, and you encourage one another and you lift one another up. And that's so vital and it's so important in the church, and it's transforming in the church. Praise God. But also when we talk about this thing of integrity, it's important to know that at the end of the day, integrity is an individual decision that we each have to make. It's an individual decision that we have to make. And if you will be a man or if you will be a woman of integrity, if we will stand and be men and women of integrity, then people will be drawn to us, because it's becoming more and more rare. It really is. People will be drawn to us. The world will be drawn to us at the end of the day when everything else isn't working and when they've fallen flat on their face. As the word says in Proverbs 11, they will be drawn to us who are living integrity. And why? Why will they be drawn to us? Because we're living like Jesus. Because we're being like Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus is attractive. And even if they don't know it, they want Jesus. He's attractive. Jesus is irresistible. Because as we are living set apart lives, and the things we are saying are having no agenda and have no fabrication of the truth, and our actions are rooted in loving and lifting others up and serving, that's Jesus. That's being Jesus, because Jesus, he isn't a man of integrity. He is integrity. Jesus is the definition of integrity. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, Galatians 2:20. So when you and I are in a relationship with Jesus, the byproduct of that is being a man, being a woman of integrity. And also, this integrity subject is about having the heart of a servant. Having the heart of a servant. I had this incredibly profound encounter with God, where he began speaking to me about washing people's feet. And we all know the passage in Scripture where Jesus, the ultimate servant king, he's washing his disciples' feet, and he's showing them and he's leading them that actually this is what it looks like to lead. He's showing them that in the kingdom realm, there is a higher way, which actually looks like going lower and serving. So we all know this passage, and the Lord began to speak to me on this, and he revealed to me that in this day and in this time, in our culture, in our society, what washing people's feet looks like. Because obviously, if we go around washing each other's feet, that doesn't connect. That doesn't make sense in our culture, our society. And so he said, son, I want to teach you what it looks like to wash other people's feet in this day, in this time, in this nation, in this culture. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, washing each other's feet looks like laying down our need to be right and laying down our need to be seen. Laying down our need to be right and laying down our need to be seen. And I've got a whole message on this encounter, but the reason I'm sharing it with you because I believe it connects to this integrity that we're talking about. I believe it connects with it in many ways, but specifically, I believe that we have to cultivate the ability to admit when we are wrong. Cultivate the ability to admit when we are wrong, and because that's honesty. And the quicker that we can admit that we are wrong, the quicker our integrity will be built, and the stronger our integrity will become. Because you see, when pride begins to build up in us, then it actually clouds our vision and it clouds our decision making, because then we're not seeing things through a pure lens. And so the longer you hold on so tightly to that pride and I've got to be right, that need to be right, and we don't deal with that stuff, the more it festers and you can't actually see clearly. You can't see, wow, oh, that's the direction I should be going. Oh, wow, that's the choices I should be making. Or, oh, that's actually how that person needs me to treat them. That's how I can serve them. That's actually the questions I should be asking that person in that relationship. It clouds it. And I've had to learn in marriage, as I said, we've got a little legitimacy now. So I thought once we hit 10 years of marriage, I can lie. I can't preach a whole message on marriage yet, but I can bring it up in a sermon at least, you know. And so I've learned in our marriage that, you know, if I've said something or if I've done something that just, you know, doesn't sit well with my wife, Nedja, or, you know, if I hurt her feelings in something, or, you know, if we've had an argument or anything like that, I've had to learn that once that has happened and once I've hurt her feelings, then whatever we're talking about, whatever we are disagreeing about, that's no longer important. That's no longer important, because what's important now is that her heart is hurting. And so I've had to grow where I can say, hey, I was wrong for making you feel that way. And I'm sorry, but let me not just tell you that I was wrong, but also let me show you that I was wrong by not having to be right anymore about that thing, because now that thing is worthless compared to your heart. And so here's a few keys to help us build and cultivate a life of integrity. I'll go through them briefly. Number one, I'm going to give you, I believe I've got four keys here. Number one, what I was just talking about, being quick to lay down our need to be right. I want to mention one more thing on this. I want to touch on a religious spirit that is often at work here, often in regards into this needing to be right thing. Because you see, truth actually lifts others up. Truth lifts others up, but being right actually lifts ourselves up. One is from God's heavenly realm. One is from the demonic realm. Truth lifts others up. The need to be right and always being right elevates ourselves. Okay, and I've found more and more, specifically in the church, that often this truth versus the other side of it, of actually being right, tries to disguise itself with the Word of God, with the Bible. And what I mean by that is, and I love the Word of God. I love the Bible, and that's actually why I'm sharing this, because I have such a love for the Word of God. But actually, if what we are seeing in the Word of God, in the Bible, is being used in a way that does not value someone's heart, or that is belittling people as we are being elevated, or if it's not setting anyone free, then we actually need to stop looking at the Holy Bible and be with the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can show God's nature and heart that is in the Holy Bible. Number two, and I just dropped that word on you, and I'm going to move on. All right. Be honest, not just with people, but also with God. We all know that integrity is about being honest with people. Truth and integrity are interchangeable, but what about being honest with God? Because I believe so many times, so many of us, we're living in pain that we haven't dealt with and that we've never even talked to God about. And when we do that, it actually clouds our integrity, because then when there's undealt with pain, we're actually speaking out of and making decisions out of that pain. And so God wants a real relationship. And so whatever it is, he can handle it. I promise you, he can handle it. He wants real. He wants our honesty about how we feel. He wants our honesty about what we are sad about, what we may be angry about in the moment. He wants our honesty about what's going on, what we're struggling with. He wants us to be real and be honest with him, but it's not for him. He already knows. It's for us to actually give him that burden and allow him the opportunity that he wants, which is to love us through it and to lift that pain and to lift that burden and remind us of who we are and whose we are. Number three, I'm going fast. Value most what God your Father thinks about you. What we're talking about here is the fear of man. Because when you place more value on what man thinks about you, when we place value, more value on what man thinks about us, then we're actually going to make decisions and we're going to actually do things based on our submission to how someone else sees or feels about us rather than how our Father God in heaven sees and feels about us. And that will always keep us from being men and women of integrity, because it will keep us from being who we are and who we're supposed to be. Number four, this is the last one. This is building keys to build and cultivate a life of integrity. Number four, do not equate anointing with having an intimate relationship with Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" This may be one of the freakiest verses in the Bible. What a big, massive word this is in the Word of God. Because, wow, Jesus, he's showing us here that we can have incredible success and still not truly know him. He's showing us here we can do things in his name. We can operate in an anointing at such a level that we're not just seeing miracles, but he says you're seeing many miracles and still not know the heart of the one who gives it to us. So we don't equate anointing with having an intimate relationship with Jesus. I believe people are craving integrity. I believe this world is craving integrity. I believe this city is craving integrity. And I believe that this church body, this house, I actually wrote this down as being positioned to stand boldly in integrity, serve humbly, love extravagantly, and it is already creating, and it will continue to create an unshakable foundation where the heavenly glory of God will not just manifest, but will dwell in this house. It will inhabit this house in ways never seen before on the earth. I believe that people, they're going to say, "Hey, that church, you see that church, that life of faith? I want what they've got. I want what they got."